Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy weekend, gentlemen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Davis Maddock, joined today by George Kurtz. Craig Mish decided he didn't want to deal with me today. He didn't want to deal with me making fun of his Miami Heat laying another egg against the Milwaukee Bucks. But we have plenty to talk about today. Lots of things coming up. Three game threes in the NBA playoffs. We have the Brooklyn Nets at the Boston Celtics, the New York Knicks at the Atlanta Hawks, the Los Angeles Clippers at the Dallas Mavericks. And then, of course, we do have our Game 7 between Minnesota and the Vegas Golden Knights. What's your TV going to be on, George? Are you going to be flipping back and forth? Are you watching Clippers Mavericks, or is it all Game 7? Is it all on the ice?
Ah, you see, Davis, you don't know me well enough here. I got the man cave going here. All right, so I have three TVs in my den. And there'll be three different games on the main screen. I'm a Yankee fan, so the main screen will have the Yankee game on. The hockey will be on one flanker, and I'll probably have a rotating baseball game on the other flanker. So that's what I'll be watching tonight. I'll be watching all the games here. I don't miss all that much.
Well, I mean, you're ahead of me, so you probably don't know this. I mean, unless you tune into the show every single day. So I'm in the process of buying a house right now. So I am dreaming up the man cave, right? I'm dreaming up the three TVs, the mini fridge, all the crap that I've been hauling around with me for college apartments, yes, and condos, yes, and everything that I've rented. You know, I got posters, I got memorabilia, but none of it's hanging up because I don't really have a great spot in my office right now to hang it up. So we're ready there. Shohei Ohtani is expected to be on the bump for the Angels. This is massive for me. Of course, I have the Shohei Ohtani American League MVP tickets. We have round two underway from the Colonial Golf Club in Fort Worth, Texas. I think we have a good finish coming up here because anytime Jordan Spieth is, having a good round, people are tuning in. And I've been talking about this with Craig as well. You know, golf really is better right now. We don't have Tiger Woods. And not that many casual fans, you know, they're not really that in to Brooks Koepka. Casual fans don't really resonate with Dustin Johnson. I mean, maybe Brooks a little bit. Brooks is like kind of like a D-list celebrity. I mean, George, you casually follow golf. Do any of these guys other than Tiger or Phil move the needle for you at all?
No. I mean, certainly Tiger Woods. I mentioned Phil Woods. These are names, you know. I guess the greats of the game, you know, where you tune in. Even if you don't know a sport all that well, you know, this guy's playing. Okay, so you tune in a little bit. No, I wouldn't say, to use your term, they move the needle for me at all. Listen, I might turn on the final round a little bit. I live on Long Island. I've been to a couple of U.S. Opens. The one they played out at Bethpage, Shinnecock. I've been there because it's close, and it's been fun to – well, I'd like to say it's been fun to go to, but whenever I go to golf, it inevitably means it's monsoon the day before, and all you're doing is walking in mud. Every time I've gone to one of these things. So maybe it's me. Maybe I'm bad luck.
So my experience with going to golf, I've been to one big tournament. I've been to a couple web.com tour events because they used to do it very close to my house at a nice golf course in Kansas City. I went to the 2019 PGA Championship when Brooks Koepka defeated Tiger Woods. You know, they were there in that last pairing together. And my experience was, oh my gosh, it's so hot. You have to wait in line forever if you want to get a drink, you want to get some food, you know, because it's a golf course. You can't have food and concession stands everywhere. It just would not be realistic with the crowds and with guys needing, you know, quiet for their shots and everything. So my experience was not full of mud, but my experience was it's going to golf is fun. I would not call it the most pleasurable athletic attending, right? I think the best sport to go to in person, it's got to be hockey, right, George? It's going to hockey games. It's got to be the best.
I would agree. I think once you get a better view than anything else, generally the seats are good. It's indoors. It might be a little cold. It is ice. They got to keep it cold. So you want to bring a jacket, but I would agree. I mean, baseball is good if you get the right weather. But I've been to some baseball games where, hey, you just feel like you're melting. And I've also made the mistake, I will never, ever, ever, ever go to an April night baseball game again. I've been to football games. And I guess when you go to a football game, you know it's going to be cold, so you're built up for it. You go to a night baseball, you're not expecting it to be cold. So it could be 50 degrees, and you're like, I'm dying here. I want to pay $100 for a hot chocolate. I'm cold. So I've made that mistake, and I'll never go to a night April baseball game, not in New York, ever, ever, ever again.
I've made that mistake here in the Midwest as well. Been to the Royal Stadium, you're kind of protected for most of it. But if you are in the outfield part of the stadium, you just could not be more exposed, and you got to get a blanket, you got to bundle up, or you will just gonna be completely, completely uncomfortable. Okay, real quick, best sporting moment you are in attendance for, the most memorable sporting event that you have the ticket stub to.
You know, I think Gabe and I were just talking about this a couple of weeks ago. I've never been to a no-hitter. I've been to, for Islander games, Brian Trottier's 500th goal. One quick story I can tell you, and I told Gabe, is my grandmother used to work for the Plaza Hotel back in the 70s. I'm from that era. I could go to any Yankee game I wanted to. Obviously, I was too young, but my father, who's a big Yankee fan, wouldn't go to the Bronx. My cousins all went to the Yankees in the 77, 78, 81 World Series, but I never got to go because my father wouldn't go to the Bronx. So I've missed more stuff than anything else. I could have gone to Roger Clemens' 300th victory, but I didn't want to go. I didn't know it was going to be at that time because I had a hockey game that night. So I've had more bad luck than anything else, most of it my own fault.
I also never seen a no-hitter, never seen a perfect game, never seen a cycle. I do have some cool ones. That probably the coolest one was the largest ninth comeback ever for the Royals. Heading into break, see you guys with my friend John Daigle here in just a few moments. Stay tuned to Sports Grid.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
You can't make the most of your data if it's stuck in different silos. If it's scattered across the cloud, on-prem, and with your apps, then it's hard to access, hard to work with, and increasingly expensive. Now you can see it all and manage it all from one place. Welcome to Data Done Right. You can start managing your data, not your infrastructure. It's unified, simple, secure, and it's only with a Pure Storage platform. Get started at purestorage.com.
TV.
Sp-
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back here to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by my good buddy John Daigle from NBC Sports Edge, continuing our best ball NFL drafting conversations. We're gonna tackle the topic of the day. Everyone is now obsessed with stacking. You know, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, maybe not as popular. Now everyone is stacking their teams. Everyone is only drafting four running backs on their best ball championship teams. Actually, real quick before we get into the stacks, John, on your teams, are you doing the hyper fragile running back? Are you just drafting four running backs?
For these large filled best ball tournaments that we are trying to be one of 155,000 to win a million, I'm doing everything. I'm not even going to lie. I am doing the most galaxy brain stuff, so much so that when I get invited or start 12-man leagues, I get so excited because you can just go back to the old school frame of drafting via roster construction, as opposed to just thinking three steps ahead of everyone and doing things outside the box. So I do a lot of hyper-fragile, admittedly, but also I'm throwing some six RB stacks in there, a lot of four-man stacks. Whereas 12-man leagues, it's funny, you mentioned it, now that everyone does it, I still feel like 12-man leagues, you don't necessarily have to do it. You're just kind of taking the best players according to your roster construction. But overall, it's very clear that stacking is definitely the way to go. And stacking, by the way, is not skinny stacking. It's not two people. You are looking for two wide receivers or a wide receiver tight end or running back tight end. Yes, you are getting the entire offense in the events they explode.
Yeah. All right. So let's start out here. John Daigle's number one favorite team to stack right now in best ball championships. Who do you got?
You would think they are highly priced right now, but you can actually get a discount on the Cowboys offense that we were so high on last year, and absolutely nothing has changed. Just to lose Dak Prescott after four games, who, by the way, averaged 50 pass attempts per game in that month. And I would tell you that the defense did not get better as an organization. They continue running on a treadmill in place and grabbing Micah Parsons just to replace Leighton Van Der Esch in 2022 rather than adding him to the mix. He's going to play edge rusher, at least reportedly, this year. But we have no idea if he can cover. And that's what he's going to be asked to do as a rookie until Van Der Esch is actually out of the way. And having a poor defense, in my opinion, as we know, makes the offenses better. And the offense was not in doubt last year. Amari Cooper, of course, averaged a team-high 25% target share from Dak Prescott. CeeDee Lamb led the team in end zone targets while Prescott was under center. So overall, I am soaking up all of them yet again with an offensive line whose three main starters missed a combined 36 games last year at full health from week one.
You are 100% correct. You can take Zeke in the first, CeeDee Lamb in the fourth, Dak Prescott in the fifth. Michael Gallup on some platforms even goes outside of the top 100 picks. Dalton Schultz and Blake Jarwin, if you have a lean on which one of them is the starting tight end. Jarwin, maybe you could argue, is a little bit overpriced given that he's coming off the torn ACL. You can take Dalton Schultz with, you know, basically your last pick in these drafts. My favorite stack is the Cowboys. My second favorite stack is similar in the sense that they are expensive-ish, but less expensive than they should be, and it's the Baltimore Ravens. So if you it can include Dobbins or you cannot. He goes with a third-round selection in these drafts right now. But Lamar is actually he's going after Dak. You can sometimes get Lamar, you know, later in the fifth round. Marquise Brown is going about the eighth, ninth round, you know, about an average draft position of 95. Mark Andrews, an average draft position of around 65, depending on which platform you're drafting on. A little bit more expensive in FFPC with the tight end premium. Rashad Bateman, well outside of the top 10 rounds. Sammy Watkins, literally a final round selection. And the summary of this argument is basically this. Lamar has already won an MVP and thrown 36 touchdowns. They were in a bunch of very odd game scripts last year, And I think the selecting of Rashad Bateman in the first round and the signing of Watkins in free agency tells us that Harbaugh and the Ravens realize they're not going to win Super Bowls. They're not going to contend running the ball 60% of the time. They understand that they need to, you know, cultivate easier passing options for Lamar, and that running out Willie Snead and Dez Bryant and Nick Boyle for half of Lamar's targets was not conducive to a productive offense.
Lamar will also presumably be an MVP candidate after the first month of the season, since the Ravens have an amazing opening schedule against the Raiders, Chiefs, Lions, Broncos, and Colts. Not to mention, we always cite his stats when he returned from the COVID list against the Cowboys from week 13 on, because that's when the offense really started clicking, especially in terms of yards and plays per game. But the same thing happened for Marquise Brown. You may think it's a detriment that through those first 12 games, and it was, that didn't really add anything to the offense, but from that point forward, 6.7 targets per game, 15.5 fantasy points per game. He moved as the offense went. And if we expect this offense to go from week one, then Marquise Brown is being grabbed at a discount right now.
Yeah, no, you are 100% right. So I think these are clearly the two best combination of total projected points in ADP offenses you can stack right now. But we are stacking so much, we also want to have secondary stacks. Ideally, in these tournaments, you want to have your expensive stack, you know, your Chiefs, your Ravens, your Cowboys, your 49ers. But then you'd also rather, you want a cheaper offense as well. Who are some of the cheaper stacks that you were looking at?
It's one that you probably agree with as well, but the Bengals are all too good in my opinion. Another team whose defense did not improve over the offseason, and with Joe Burrow back, the splits are magnifying. Just in his 10 starts, to average the most pass attempts and dropbacks per game as an offense. Then add Ja'Marr Chase. But then also noted from Pat established the runs, Pat Thorman, the Bengals actually averaged the most plays per game with Burrow under center, and then dropped to 31st with any other quarterback under center. So overall, it's just an offense that is going to be passing the ball a ton. And my favorite part about it is that even if we think Ja'Marr Chase leads the team in targets, and I do believe that in year one, you can just skip him and get the other two, T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, at a discount. I just take two of the three because I think they're all going to be successful at some point in any given week throughout the year.
Yeah, I really like the Bengals one. I recently have realized there are two teams, and this is a huge thing in these best ball tournaments, is figuring out how to do the backdoor stacks, which means you take the quarterback first and you take the pass catchers later. Last year, the Raiders were a popular team to do that with. Didn't really work out because Nelson Aguilar wasn't even getting drafted. I guess it worked out if you took stabs on Darren Waller. Mm-hmm. This year, I think there are two options to do the backdoor stack. One is, I think, the New York Giants. You can take Daniel Jones with your 12th round selection. Then you can take Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, even Evan Ingram goes, later on. And depending on your platform, I've seen a wide range of ADPs for Kadarius Toney. And then the other one is the Detroit Lions, because no one wants Jared Goff. No one wants Tyrell Williams. No one wants Breshad Perriman. No one wants Amon-Ra St. Brown. Between those two, which, you know, truly gross vomit backdoor stack do you prefer?
Unfortunately, I kind of want T.J. Hockenson and Breshad Perriman, so yeah. I've been finding myself getting a lot of line stacks. And then even in two QB builds, if you start with a powerhouse like Lamar, Mahomes, Dak, someone at the top, just add Jared Goff for the extra points. That's fine. I'm totally okay with that because you're just getting a backup quarterback anyhow. You don't need to prioritize that onesie position when you already have a stat guy at the top. So it's the Lions for me, honestly. And my favorite thing about him, Daniel Jones, even Joe Burrow, is that the ranges they go in, it's nitpicking at that point. Like, Burrow usually goes around Stafford and Brady, and as the only one who has legs among those three, I'm fine taking him over those two, even if I don't believe he can outscore them on a weekly basis, because it's so close. And the same goes for Goff. Goff is going in the range of Mac Jones, Cam Newton, Jameis Winston. Like, he's going to be a 17-game starter, barring injury. So why wouldn't I just take that comfort every time over those other options?
Yeah, and you make a great point, which is, you know, a big part of these stacks is finding running quarterbacks. And once you weed out the running, Tom Brady really is not that different from Jared Goff for best ball specifically, because floors don't matter. It's only about your spiked weeks. And if you don't run, you just really can't score that many points as a quarterback. John, thank you very much for joining us. We are going to run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. For the rest of the show, we'll continue covering everything going on in the world of fantasy sports here on Sports Grid TV. See you guys in a few minutes on the other side of break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Pat Corain, touching on absolutely our favorite subject in all of fantasy football, zero running back targets. So I saw this tweet the other day, Pat, that, of course, you know, the everyone always wants to defeat the zero RB strategy. Yeah. And it was stating, you know, only seven running backs have been drafted outside the top 100 picks the last 5 years. And we're able to finish with RB1 scores, which makes it seem like, of course, zero running back strategy, it's terrible. Why would anyone want to do this? Which, of course, ignores the fact it's a weekly game, buddy. And you can pick up your Ty Johnsons and your Jeffrey Wilson Juniors and your JD McKissicks, and you can grind out those points when you need them. So I guess before we get into specific targets, inning 2021, heading into the drafts, are we still pounding the zero running back theory?
Yeah, I think we're pounding the zero running back theory. And, you know, Mike Leone had an article recently talking about zero running back in best ball. And he had been a little bit skeptical of the idea of zero running back in best ball last year. And then he went back and looked at the win rates from last year, and the two top builds were zero running back builds. So even in best ball, where you don't have access to the waiver wire, zero running back can be a really viable strategy. And in best ball, you're also contending against teams that are able to use wide receiver volume late to try to, you know, add to their running backs early and make up for the fact they don't have strong wide receivers selected early. And still, zero running back is a viable strategy. So I think in managed leagues, it's an absolutely fantastic strategy, especially in the back half of the draft. If you're drafting, you know, the 111, the 112, you don't have access to those top running backs. We're not asking you to pass on Christian McCaffrey. We're saying, you know, you've got the 110, you don't have access to that guy. Instead of trying to chase and get a running back who's a worse version of the guy that the 101 or the 102 selected, build your team differently. Use that structural advantage to try to make up for the lack of a top draft pick.
Yeah. So obviously for this strategy to work, particularly in best ball, you got to hit on guys who are giving you scores, you know, much later in your drafts. So we're going to run through some of our favorite targets here. My number one zero RB guy, who I think is going to be on a large number of my teams this year, Jamal Williams for the Detroit Lions, for a couple different reasons. One, we've already seen him split pretty much 50-50 with a much better running back, right? He did that with Aaron Jones with the Packers. We already have the beat writers reporting, like, look, he just is the 1B to DeAndre Swift's 1A. We've already had the very hard-o head coach, Dan Campbell, being like, yeah, Jamal Williams, he had some stupid terminology. I wish I could remember it right now to define the role that Williams will play in the offense. But basically, I think they're going to run a ton. I think you're looking at 150, 180 touches from Jamal Williams probably, and he is, you know, going pick 150 or so in these early best ball drafts.
Yeah, the quote was that he's their A back, which didn't mean that he was their number one back. It just means that that's sort of the lead back, a kind of a three down type of back, and Swift is more of a space back, which I think is unfair to Swift, but that's how they see it. So this is going to be a guy who's going to deliver you some usable weeks. And to your point, you know, with that tweet, like, yeah, you're not necessarily able to hit home runs late in the draft, but you are able to get guys who are going to deliver you usable weeks. And then you're pairing that with wide receivers that are just absolutely smashing your competition and dominating in the flex. So you're scoring more points through those early rounds than your opponents, who are chasing lower scoring running backs for safety. And then you're able to make up for that with guys who are getting usable weeks for you in these later rounds. And Jamal Williams is going to have a role. I mean, Jamal Williams has been this kind of zero running back guy for several years, you know, in the Green Bay backfield a few years ago. He was super, super cheap. Last year, a little bit more expensive, but, you know, still had that role. And I expect him to continue to have that role this year. He does things that coaches feel like they can rely on.
Yeah. So another guy who is now, I think he's not getting any attention yet. He will be once we start seeing some reports coming out of 49ers camp. It's going to be Elijah Mitchell. So everyone knows Mostert. Trey Sermon is getting all of the helium right now. But with this report that Jeffrey Wilson Jr. Is having surgery on his knee, not expected to be ready for the beginning of the regular season. It was a 4 to 5 month recovery time. We're about 70 days away from the beginning of the NFL season. Elijah Mitchell looks like a guy who's going to play. And Kyle Shanahan made this note in the 49ers post-draft press conference that the 49ers' third running back, while he's been the coach, has led the NFL in snaps every year that Shanahan has been the coach amongst third running backs. So there looks to be an immediate role for Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah, this was a big deal for Elijah Mitchell, and he is a really strong athlete, kind of a, looks like kind of a classic one-cut runner type of guy with speed. So he's definitely the type of guy that can deliver, you know, a couple spike weeks for you. He can get in the end zone, he can have some long runs. And the thing with the 49ers backfield is it's been kind of rotating. There's been multiple guys that you wanted to own there. Like, you basically want whoever is going to be the guy that week, and it has shifted over the course of the year. I also think Raheem Mostert's getting more interesting as the Trey Sermon buzz builds. I think by the time we get into the late summer, Trey Sermon is going to be clearly ahead of Raheem Mostert in ADP, and Raheem Mostert is going to be a bit of a zero running back target if his ADP falls from here.
Yeah, I want to pick your brain on the Buffalo Bills running backs, because they are both cheaper this season than they were last year. Moss and Singletary were both top 100 selections in best ball last year. They are both now outside of the top 100, just barely. They added Matt Breida, which I guess, you know, 2 years ago would have been kind of noteworthy. Matt Breida couldn't even really get on the field ahead of guys like Savon Ahmed, who was an undrafted free agent. DeAndre Washington, you know, obviously outplayed by Myles Gaskin, playing behind my guy Patrick Laird in Miami. So I'm not really that worried about it. Obviously, the big concern is, well, you know, Josh Allen doesn't really check down to running backs, and he takes all the goal line work. Do you have a thought on, you know, a larger role for Moss this year? Singletary kind of plays behind, or Singletary gains more of a market share? Are either of those guys interesting to you?
I want exposure to both of them. They're both very cheap. I prefer Moss slightly, like the market does, but I don't have like really strong feeling on that. I'm definitely willing to get Singletary, and the fact that Singletary is cheaper may make him the better target once you price adjust it. And I think, you know, last year things kind of went as bad as it could for a backfield value. You know, this is an offense that we want pieces of. We want any wide receiver in this offense. And I think it can be an offense where there is some backfield value. We saw, you know, Devin Singletary had one game where he kind of had the full workload, but it just didn't lead to value. I think in some ways this backfield kind of ran bad as a whole last year, and I think in some ways it got worse as the year went on. Like in the playoffs, you know, putting these guys in your playoff contests was just so gross and not a winning strategy. So the taste that this backfield left in our mouths is not good, and it's just creating a situation where no one wants to draft these guys right now. But given how cheap they are and given that it is going to be a two-man backfield, I do not think Breida will have much of a role. I think both of them are pretty attractive at these prices.
Yeah, I definitely think you're right. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire's backup, whoever that might be, I mean, last year we saw Darrell Williams get pushed up before DeAndre Washington got cut. He was going in the 10th, 11th round. The team definitely soured on CEH in the second half of the season. Now, I don't buy any of this myself. I am pretty bullish on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I see a lot of upside. For example, Clyde Edwards-Helaire going after, you know, Joe Mixon and things like that, it feels a little silly to me, because, you know, I don't think Clyde Edwards-Helaire has to be all that good to get, you know, he's in the perfect situation to get free fantasy points. But the market doesn't agree with me, which is interesting, because Darrell Williams is free. Jerick McKinnon is free, and Darwin Thompson is the only other running back on the roster. Damian Williams is in Chicago. Le'Veon Bell not on an NFL roster. Are you interested in Darrell Williams or Jerick McKinnon right now at you know, total no cost?
Yeah, I do have some interest in Darrell Williams, again, because we know he's going to have a role. We saw him have a pretty decent role last year. He can catch passes and get used a little bit around the goal line. So getting some usable weeks out of Darrell Williams is pretty easy to imagine. It's easy to imagine getting, you know, a bunch of usable weeks if CEH doesn't take a step forward. McKinnon seems a little bit more like a swing for the fences. I don't think it's a guarantee he even makes the team. So I'm not quite as interested in him, although obviously he is quite cheap. But yeah, I think Williams is a decently stronger play.
Yeah. And then Daryl Henderson of the Los Angeles Rams gets a big quarterback upgrade. Gerald Everett is gone. DeSean Jackson going to be the third wide receiver there in all likelihood while he's healthy. I mean, we have seen them use a lot of two backfield or two running back stuff in the post-Gurley era.
I do too. I mean, you're looking at a role with Malcolm Brown that had real value last year, and I don't think that Cam Akers is going to step in and be like a true three down, every down back. So, you know, who's going to get some of that additional pass catching work, get mixed in a little bit around the goal line, get used as a change of pace? It's basically all Darrell Henderson, and he's very cheap right now. And again, going to that usable weeks type of framework, is Darrell Henderson going to like win you your league by emerging ahead of Cam Akers? Certainly not, but he is going to likely mix in with some touchdowns, likely mix in with some, you know, a 3-4 reception type of week and some efficiency on top of that. And then, of course, if Cam Akers were to miss a few weeks with injury, Darrell Henderson all of a sudden becomes potentially a league winner. So I think he's, you know, kind of a cheaper version of that Tony Pollard, you know, type of play. And I really like him. I don't understand why he's going quite so cheap this year.
Yeah, and they don't really have a great third running back. You know, Malcolm Brown is in Miami. It's like Xavier Jones, like guys who really have made no impact at the NFL level as of yet. So I think Darrell Henderson, another guy who's going to wind up being very useful for these best ball teams moving forward. Everyone, we are going to run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. When we return, we will continue all of our discussion on the wide world of sports going on, NBA, MLB, NHL. See you guys in just a few moments on the other side of break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips.
Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you walk in 10,000 steps.
Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. My name is Davis Maddock, lucky enough to be joined by George Kurt today. Craig Mish taking his Friday off. Going to be a long weekend for Craig. Memorial Day, of course. We're going to have programming live running here on Sports Grid TV, but I will not be joining you. There will be no Fantasy Sports Today on Monday. Just going to be lots of In Game Live. So definitely make sure to stay tuned to that. A little bit of breaking news in the NBA. Dante DiVincenzo, who was a starting guard for the Milwaukee Bucks, playing about 30 minutes a night over the last 2 months of the season. The team just announced that he is going to miss the rest of the playoffs with a foot injury. He seemed to have damaged one of the tendons in his feet. That's a pretty big loss. The Bucks are going to have to play Bryn Forbes a lot of minutes. I think we're really going to see them just try and find some answers, because that is a big piece of the rotation that they have lost. Don't think it's going to matter in the Heat series, but definitely it's going to matter heading down the rest of the playoffs. This is, of course, everyone's favorite segment now, Fantasy or Reality, bringing in our producer, Brett Levy, to toss George and I three scenarios where we have to decide fantasy or reality.
All right, Davis. Well, we're going to go back to the Colonial in Fort Worth today. Phil Mickelson yesterday, he had a rough day. He was tied in 87th after round one. Gave a great quote, though. "I didn't play well, but I won the PGA Championship." So we got to ask. Davis, we'll start with you. Phil Mickelson will miss the cut at the Colonial. Is this a fantasy or reality?
You know what? I think this probably is a reality. Phil was not on the driving range on Monday and Tuesday working on his game. He was up until like 4 o'clock in the morning after winning the PGA Championship, you know, drinking wine. He was tweeted a bunch. He tees off in about 25 minutes from now. He is 3 over par. The projected cut line right now is 1 over par, probably might get to +2. So, you know, if Phil fires a 68, he should be well within range, but I don't think he's going to do it. I think Phil has other things on his mind right now. So I think this is a reality. I think he is going to miss the cut, George.
You're being nice. He was partying. All right, we'd all be partying after we won a championship. Of course he didn't care about that. I'm surprised he even signed up for this event when you think about it. Why? You know you're not going to take it seriously. It's like anybody else. You win a championship, you're going to have a good time for a day or two. As well, you should. I certainly would. This is definitely a reality. No, he's not going to make the cut.
All right. So our next fantasy or reality takes us to the football field. Brandon Jacobs was on Twitter yesterday, seemed to be inspired by Tim Tebow, saying he's coming back out of retirement, wants to be a defensive end, saying if he doesn't make it, he'll take it on the chin like a man. So, George, we'll start this one with you. Brandon Jacobs will be in training camp with an NFL team. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Oh, my God, Alex, I'll take names I haven't heard of in a decade for $200, please. I mean, really? This is what we're going to hear now? I think the Tebow thing is kind of silly. I think the fact that he's a 34-year-old who hasn't played in 5-6 years, hasn't even played the position longer than that, all of a sudden going to try out for tight end. Maybe it worked in 15. It's not going to work now. Jacobs, when was the last time he played in the NFL? I mean, it's been quite a long time. He's 38 years old. 38 years old. Now, to answer your question, you said he'll be in training camp with the team. You didn't say he had to play or be trying to be. Maybe he'll be a coach somewhere or be hanging out with the guys there. No, this is a fantasy. I don't see anybody giving him a shot. If he was 28, all right, you might have an argument here. He's 38 years old. If he was a star player, all right, it could be a publicity gimmick thing and someone will bring him in for the hell of it. Tebow has that, someone had star power. Jacobs doesn't have that. No, this is a fantasy.
Yeah, it is a fantasy. The last time that Brandon Jacobs played, people don't remember, he actually went away from the New York Giants for one season, signed with the San Francisco 49ers, played in 2 games, recorded 5 rushing attempts for 7 yards. Then he came back to New York at age 31, all the way back in 2013. I was still in college then. That's how long ago this was. Brandon Jacobs recorded 58 rushes, 238 rushing yards, 4 touchdowns. But I mean, at 38, how many guys are even able to play their original position at 38 years old? You know, we saw Larry Fitzgerald retire. Now, quarterbacks are able to do it. your Brady's, your Breeze's, your Rodgers's, your Roethlisberger's, those guys have been able to sustain. But at like the skill impact positions, I 30 kind of is the timeline for most of these guys. The one way I could see this happening was if the same regime that was in charge of the New York Giants was still in charge, but it's not. Tom Coughlin has already moved to a different organization and then got fired, right, from the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I just don't see it. I think there's no way, though. I think it is very funny to see these these older athletes try to come back. Because Brett, we always get these stories. You know, every offseason we hear, you know, Schefter and Rapsheet tweet like, oh yeah, Tyler Thigpen, who hasn't played in 8 years, got a call from an NFL team or someone like that. You know, we always hear that. So I always think it's funny when you get these blasts from the past, but no, it's gotta be a fantasy. We are not going to see Brandon Jacobs at a training camp.
All right, fair enough. I just had to get the jet in there missing the tackle, take a little shot at myself. But New England might have a quarterback controversy brewing because rave reviews are coming out of New England on Mac Jones. He has swagger. He's impressing coaches in the huddle and in the locker room. So we got to ask, and Davis, we'll start with you. Mac Jones will be the week one starting quarterback in New England. Is this a fantasy or reality?
So I think that this has to be a fantasy, but I don't think it is nearly as far-fetched as the headline would suggest. I've never been one of these people to pile on Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton has put together an incredible career. He's been an MVP. He's been to the Super Bowl. He set the record for most touchdowns compiled by a rookie. I think that he's going to go down as basically the best, you know, kind of short yardage power rusher ever at the quarterback position. And I think that without Cam Newton, we don't see Lamar Jackson. We don't see Kyler Murray. I think probably we don't even see Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen is the guy in the NFL right now who most resembles what Cam Newton used to be like. And I think that Trey Lance has a chance to be a similarly impactful guy. But Newton is still a powerful rusher, but his style of passing, it just doesn't really work at the NFL level now. You know, last year in 15 games, he threw for only 2,657 yards, only 8 passing touchdowns. I think the signings of Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry definitely indicate that the Patriots are wanting to air the ball out a little bit more. You know, they were playing guys like Ryan Izzo and Dalton Keene at tight end the last two seasons, and it just didn't really work out. So I think Cam will probably start week one because the Patriots, they open up the season playing the Dolphins at home, then the Jets on the road, and then the Saints at home. My guess is that we probably see Mac Jones if the Patriots lose to the Buccaneers at that week four game at home, George. I think that's probably going to be about the time we start hearing the chance for Mac Jones. What do you think?
Tick, 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 tick. It's just a matter of time. All right, this has nothing to do with Cam Newton, by the way. Oh, I think he's an awful throwing quarterback, a great running quarterback. It's just what he is. It has nothing to do with him, though. The history, let's just go to the last 5 years. First-round quarterbacks are going to play in their rookie season. It's just a matter of when. When does Bill Belichick believe that Jones is ready? Is it week one? Is it week four? Is it week 8, 10, whatever it is? That's when he's going to play. There's no way Cam plays the entire season. He's just not that quarterback anymore. We saw it last year. Now, I'll give you, they had little to no weapons last year, right? I mean, it was really, they had nothing there. I think the weapons are better this year. You know, obviously the tight ends you mentioned with Janu and Hunter Henry there. You had Nelson Aguilar, who I don't think is fantastic, drops a lot of passes. But, hey, they're better than what you had there. Maybe you get in on the Julio Jones sweepstakes there. And you can pick him up. That's all interesting. Julio Jones says he wants to play with Cam. I find that weird that you want to play with a quarterback who's not really great at throwing the ball down the field to you. But whatever. It is what it is here. But it's just a matter of time. It doesn't matter who the quarterback was there. Unless you're still in the prime of your career, which Cam is not, you're going to get replaced. You're going to get replaced. I'm just wondering when. You mentioned the opening schedule is tough. But I don't know if Cam can negotiate any better than Mac Jones could. But you look at it, I always look at one rookie quarterback, so when's the bye week? You know, that's always the time to get an extra couple of weeks to prepare there, or a Thursday game, we get 10 extra couple of days to prepare here. When is that for New England here? You're going to try and guess when he's a quarterback, when the rookie quarterback might play here, if he's not ready to start the season. But their bye week is late. It's week 14. That ain't happening. He'll be well under that here. They do have a Thursday game before, but even that's late in the season. I think you're probably right. I think Cam starts the season. I don't see them going with Mac Jones against Tampa Bay week 4. I just don't see that. Although maybe if you want to get some publicity off of Tom Brady, you know, playing the Patriots, maybe you do that. But at Houston in week 5, a weak team, probably no Deshaun Watson there, whether he's traded or suspended or whatever's going on there. I think that's an interesting landing spot. They play Dallas the week after that, another team whose defense is questionable, the Jets after that. If I had to guess, I would say week 5 is the coming out party for Mac Jones.
Yeah, I think looking at the schedule, you almost certainly have to be right. I think the Patriots can probably expect to be 2-2. I think they're going to be big underdogs for that Buccaneers game. Now, obviously, Belichick really wants to win that game. You know, obviously, I think Tom Brady really wants to win that game. So I think that if they do lose that game, you know, they're 2-1, they lose the game, you know, they kind of get beaten up by the Buccaneers. I think having Mac Jones start his first game against this Houston Texans roster that doesn't have anyone there, you know, it does feel like probably a good spot. You brought up a good point, though, which is the sitting of the first round quarterback just doesn't really happen anymore. Herbert, you know, probably would have sat 4 or 5 games last year had Tyrod Taylor's lung not gotten punctured by the Chargers coaching staff. Mahomes sat for 16 games. Well, 15 games. He did start a meaningless week 17 game, you know, behind Alex Smith. But by and large, you know, Kyler Murray came in, started right away. Josh Rosen, we remember him, came in, started right away. Josh Allen started right away. So I kind of just think that it's gonna be the historical weirdness. Now of all the of Fields, Lance, Wilson, and Lawrence, do you think any of them, just real quick, do you think any of them don't start week 1?
Lawrence definitely starts, right? There's no doubt about that. Wilson definitely starts. Fields, I could see him taking a couple of weeks, maybe. Lance is the same. I don't think Lance starts. If I'm going to go at 1, I'm going to say Lance doesn't start. He'll start eventually. It's just a matter of time. But I'll give Lance as the one guy there that I would bet on that won't start week 1, Fields being next.
All right, there we go. We've given you guys a full show, covered the NFL, MLB, NBA, everything you want has been here on Fantasy Sports Today. I think that we did everyone a service today. Of course, stay tuned for the Sports Grid 60 coming up here in a few moments. Stay tuned for Pharrell after us, Coast to Coast, in-game live. See you guys for the Sports Grid 60 in just a few seconds.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our final segment here on Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Davis Maddock, joined today by George Kurtz. Of course, we always end our show with the Sports Grid 60, and very curious to see what George, in his first role here as a Sports Grid 60er, has to drop on us today. What are we thinking about today, George?
Well, once again, it's baseball season. I love baseball. I've never seen a baseball season like this. It feels like Football Mondays. What do we do on Football Mondays? We look at the injury report. Oh, my God, who got hurt? You know, who's out for the season? Who's out for this? Baseball, it's every day now. Players getting hurt. I did some math yesterday in my home league. 12-team home league, your basic home league. It's a points league. And there is unlimited IL slots, but we had 138 IL moves so far. It's May 28th. Right, you do the math there. It's almost 11 plus per team. You know, I mean, I have personally in that league, I have 11 guys currently on the IL every day going through, oh, a forearm strain, oh, a hamstring, oh, a shoulder, oh, this. It's been, I want to know why. Why? Are we going to blame us on the COVID year for last year? Why? We had a normal spring training. You still played 60 games last year. Why are there so many injuries? Is it because of a 10-day IL? What, you don't feel good? Oh, I'll put you on the IL. Yeah, put you on the IL. Just move it on here. It's been frustrating. It's frustrating as a fantasy player. It's frustrating as a DFS player. It's frustrating as a gambler.
Very frustrating. I've been feeling that one myself all year long. It's been a crazy year for fantasy baseball injuries. I just have a quick one for our listeners here today, as the last episode of Mayor of Easton is going to air on Sunday. And I know many of you guys watching this also have your HBO Max subscription. You've been tuned in, you've been on Reddit, you've been reading all the theories. And I want to caution people, don't get your hopes too high. Don't be getting your mind ready for an amazing twist ending that no one saw coming. Sometimes an ending can just be an ending. And what I don't want is for people to be non-satisfied with the, you know, with the eventual ending, and they show up and the show is not what people expected. Of course, George, thanks so much for joining me today. Thank you to Brett. Thank you to James from LTN. Everyone stay on the grid all weekend. See you guys after a fantastic Memorial Day.